for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. It's been like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Praise God. Praise God. The miracle is that I was even able to get up and had a strength, really, even though it's late. But I give God all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And I know that there's relevancy in this message right here. So the mic is open, Minister Hill.
Hello. Good evening, everybody. Excuse me. I, too, been dealing with something, but it is well.
It is well.
Yes, it is. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you just for being our God.
Yeah.
I thank you for being a God that never changes, a God that keeps his word, a
Amen.
God full of mercy and grace towards us.
Mm-hmm.
For indeed, we don't deserve your goodness, but you're a God of love. And there is no greater love known to mankind.
Amen.
And you alone, Lord God, are worthy of our praise, glory, and honor.
Yes.
For without you, Lord Jesus, we'd all be lost. But because you love us, when we do fall short, you, oh God, give us space to repent over and over. Repentance is indeed necessary by all of us because we've all come short of God's glory. So we look to you, Lord, for life, health, and strength. We're no longer our own. We're bought with a great price.
Hallelujah.
One that no other could pay. So, Lord, I say to you, have your way. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God in the highest. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead so I can finish and you can go back to your rest.
Take your time.
I on last Thursday, I had told you that God had poured so much on me so quick that I couldn't write anything down. And I said poured out, but I actually felt like he had heaped this stuff on my head. And I didn't understand the why of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt the things that I was hearing were accusatory. And I remember saying to the Lord, I say, Lord, I can't go on this line and speak in that manner. So I had said to myself, I say, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to just pull out scriptures to go along with what I was hearing. And I was going to do scriptures only and nothing else. Wasn't going to elaborate on nothing.
Okay.
I was just going to let the word speak for itself.
Okay.
But to me, his tone and what I heard him say, I liken to a pastor chastising members of his church. And I'm like, and I told him, I say, this is not my ministry, and that's not my place. So I just had to wait because I just didn't have any understanding. So, but I knew the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all, that the rest also may hear. So I can work with whatever he gives me. I can put it together. But in the moment, when he heaped it all on me, I didn't understand. So I can't teach what I don't understand. I could have pulled scriptures, but I couldn't do no more. So I got up and I walked away till the next day, and he gave me two words, and I had to build this message from those two words. And it wasn't until later, after I done put the message together, that that you, Dr. Erica, told us what was going on. Then I understood. Then I understood. So I left my message as it was, and that's what you're about to hear. I began reading Deuteronomy 29, and on the second verse is when he started to speak. He heaped all his stuff. So Deuteronomy 29, 2 through 4. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto his servants and unto all his land. The great temptations, many versions say trials right there instead of temptations. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. So it was necessary for Moses to speak into their hearing the words that of the covenant that God had made with their father. See, this is the second generation. The first one had died off. The 40 years having been accomplished, the time was come that they should understand all the things and believe in their hearts the word of God before they went in to possess the land God had given them as an inheritance. So they had to hear it and believe it because they had to go into battle. And they had to go in believing all of the covenant and keeping the commandments of God in order to be victorious in the battle. Now, the thing about the children of Israel is that God chose them to be a people unto himself first. Then were the Gentiles adopted in. But now, after the birth, death, resurrection, ascension of Christ, we have to choose. So God gave me two words when I read Deuteronomy 29, 2 through 4 to build upon. Darkened, which I say darkness, and the second one was stiff-necked. So I looked them up in my old American Dictionary of English Language, Noah Webster, 1828. Darkened, deprived of light, obscured, rendered dim, made black. And the one I like the most, made ignorant.
Uh-oh.
Stiff, stubborn, inflexibly obstinate.
Mm.
Contumacious. So I looked up contumacious and obstinate. they both say stubborn. So you'll hear me throughout the message just use ignorant and stubborn for darkness and stiff neck. Obstinate, you know, was stubbornly refusing to change one opinions or chosen course of action despite attempts to persuade one to do so. Contumacious, stubbornly or willfully disobedient to authority. So now you see why I say stubborn. So what we're dealing with is ignorance and stubbornness. So I also want to mention that ignorance and stubbornness work through unbelief. Or as the dictionary defines it, calls it weak faith. That was one of the definitions Webster gave for unbelief, weak faith. So it's not profitable to the body to believe the Bible in part. The part you don't believe will lead you to doubt the part you do believe. It'll cause you to listen to and accept other forms of doctrines because you don't believe God's word. So, you know, that's those itching ears. It'll send you looking for something that's pleasing to your ears, something that's going to make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Weak faith. When God's word cuts, it's performing the work in you that it was meant to do. So rather than not believe it, just search out the matter. Like I told you, that's one of my favorite things to do, to search out a matter. So in my opinion, mind you, my opinion, weak faith will cause you to be double-minded. Weak faith causes you to not trust in the Lord. Weak faith will allow you to believe other doctrines and to serve idols. Weak faith says, I don't need to study. I already believe. Weak faith says, I know all I need to know. Weak faith says, I don't need to go to church. I have a Bible. All these are contrary to the word of God. But the Bible says one thing about, and I quote, him that is weak in the faith. Romans 14 and 1. This is the Good News translation. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but do not argue with them about their personal opinions. You welcome them, but you got to train them up. You got to help them to see the truth and to build on what the Bible says and not opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I don't do. I don't argue with people about the Bible. I don't do it. So, like I said, that stuff was my opinion about weak faith. Now, so I'm going to leave that. 1 Samuel 15 and 23 says, speaking of ignorance and stubbornness, I'm going back to that. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, that's the part that's frequently quoted. And it also says, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Because if thou rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee.
Mm-hmm.
From being, he was speaking of Saul. So if God has rejected a body, why has he rejected you? What has he rejected you from? What is it that you could have been, should have been, or would have been had it not been for stubbornness and or remaining in ignorance and unbelief? The The Bible says, I, God, have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. Then he admonishes you to choose life so that you and your children may live.
Mm-hmm.
Now he set before you, in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
He set both in front of you for you to choose. Once you choose, should you choose life, death is behind you. The enemy will never be alongside God. He will never be equal with God. They cannot walk side by side.
That's right.
God will not give or share his glory with another. So even if one should choose death and cursing, life and blessings will still be in front of you, before you, because God is greater than the enemy. So though a person be in darkness, life and blessings are still in front of him. Always will be in the front. Now, this is a parable that he gave me while I was working on this lesson. There was one, and a lot of times I'll say man, but this is man or woman. So there was a man who was in thick darkness, lost. And one day, in the distance, he thought he saw a little light shine. It was so dark that once he saw the flicker of light, the enemy immediately came and said, no, that wasn't a light. That's your mind playing tricks on you. Because of this great darkness you're in, your mind is playing tricks. Then you see it again. And again, the enemy comes and says, no, that was no light. Again, that's just your mind playing tricks on you. Then he sees the light again, and it's clear to him that there is light. And the Holy Ghost speaks through him this time, and he says, I knew I saw light. So he begins to move toward that light. The light begins to shine brighter and brighter in the distance. And he begins to move faster and faster towards that light. Then the enemy causes him to stumble and fall. And for a brief moment, when he rose, he didn't see the light. But once he regained his composure, he saw the light was still before him. And he began to run to that light, this time focusing only on the light. No longer listening to the voice of the enemy because the light is perfectly visible by now. Finally, he reaches the light, and he rejoices because he's finally out of that darkness. He knows he's safe. The light encompasses him, and immediately he knows he's in the presence of the Lord, and he begins to praise and worship God in his presence. Then the light begins to move and get brighter and brighter. The more it moved, the more he followed. So as long as he followed the light, he was being transformed from that kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, face to face and glory to glory. But he didn't stop there with the parable. He went on to speak to me, saying that the story doesn't always end like that. There are those who will willingly trade all that they have been given in Christ Jesus because of ignorance of what the word says and their own stubbornness to receive the truth that's found in the word of God. You know, instead of ignorance and stubbornness, I could just say that they'll give it all up to follow after the lust of this world. So they return. Rather, they go backwards to what they once knew, not having believed the full gospel. See, they were out of the darkness and into the light, but things weren't happening fast enough for them. They were ignorant of the fact that time with God is not like time with man. But God is faithful to do what he said. They couldn't wait. So they went about doing things their own way to achieve the things that they wanted, doing whatever they needed to do to acquire that which the world had to offer. Now, that person departed from the faith and did whatever he needed to do to obtain his desired end, not realizing that the enemy has set a trap. Like I said before, the part of the Bible that you don't believe will cause you to doubt the part that you do believe. So what do you do? What do you do? You begin to look back. And looking back will cause you to turn back. So the part of the Bible that you don't believe is the part the enemy will use to draw you backwards, to set you up. And what did Jesus say about looking back? Luke 9:62. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Continually looking back will cause you to turn back. There is a path behind you. No. There are many paths behind you, but the way, the truth, the light, and the life in front of you, leading and guiding and teaching you in the person of God's own Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Thank God for grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. So this Christian walk is a forward motion, never backwards. You don't look back. Because if you continue to look back, you will go back. Because God has said you're not fit because you're looking back. So if you're not fit, then he will reject you and you'll be left back. So there's no place for ignorance and stubbornness in this walk. The Apostle Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Stubbornness. You're not willing to be taught anything new or different from that you have already learned. Ignorance. You don't care to be taught anything new or different from that you think you know. So you're walking around in unbelief because you're not teachable. You can't receive the truth. You don't believe or accept God's truth, and you can't receive change. Change happens, and you must be willing to accept change, all the while knowing that the word of God within you will never change. It is as he left it for us in the Bible. He said, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. It never changes. Stubbornness in the knowledgeable people, the learned, is choosing, mind you, to remain in ignorance, while stubbornness and the unlearned, same thing, You have chosen to remain in ignorance. So what am I saying? I tell you exactly what the Spirit of the Lord said, and I agree. Stubbornness and ignorance in you is all on you. You have chosen to remain in that state. It's a choice that you made. So in closing, I leave you with Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. And I'm probably going to read it twice because I love it. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us, and make us to hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who will cross the sea for us, to get it for us, and make us hear, that we may observe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. I thought that was awesome.
Amen.
I'm going to read it again. For this commandment, which I command you, this is the New American Standard Version. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear, that we may observe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. It was given. Moses gave them the word. So, but it's got to be on you to put it in your mouth and in your heart so that you can observe it. Observe, to keep, to hold, to do. To do God's word. So teaching the second generation of the Israelites the statutes and commandments of God was to prepare them for the battle that was set before them. And the key was and is obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And even for the people of God this day, as God is perfecting his saints,
mm-hmm.
for the Christ's return, the key was and is obedience. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. I knew it was going to be good. I knew it was going to be good. I knew that. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Come on, King. Thank you. Linda, send me back. Linda,
Brother Joe got up, stepped on the devil's head, danced before the Lord.
Praise
and,
God.
And I cast those demons out of this room.
Jesus.
And I, so the word always works for me.
Amen.
It always works. So I want to thank you. I feel 1,000% better.
Jesus.
And I'll be on Yeah, I'll be on here in the morning.
Okay. I'll be on here too.
Praise God. We'll be on here together. Thank you so much for the support. Trust the word. It works.
That's right. Works. Let the word do the work. That's the way I say it.
Uh-huh. Got to put some action to it. All right, y'all. I'll see you in the morning. Praise God.